You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 4, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to do a shout out of thanksgiving to one of my regular listeners who was so kind to call the last broadcast, Brother John. Brother John said, I love your show. And he says, God is on every word. And I said, I'm so encouraged. He said he was so encouraged and refreshed. And so we thank you, Brother John. Sometime back, I had spoken to John and we prayed for his son, Nicholas, who had been deployed to Iraq. And I prayed with John that the Lord would take care of Nicholas and bring him safely back. And sure enough, John said, Nicholas is safely back from Iraq. And Nicholas was a sniper, so that God really took care of him. So thank you, John. Thank all of you who call me and care enough to say thank you. I love you. And now we go to Mark chapter 4, verse 1. The title of this lesson today is Seed Time Harvest. Want to say it? Seed Time Harvest. Say it again. Seed Time Harvest. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the seat. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Okay, they're just following him. Jesus is teaching the word of God. No matter why they come to him for healing and casting out demons, his first priority is to teach the word of God. This location has been found, and it is found to be a natural amphitheater. They did not have microphones or sound equipment in Jesus' day. And with that many thousands of people on the seashore, when Jesus pushed back in the boat, it made a microphone. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Proverbs 8 talks about that too. And our young Max read that tonight, today. And what Jesus did then was to carve out in that area so that it would be an amphitheater, so Jesus' voice would carry, because God knew then that one day he would come in the form of the Son and preach to the multitudes.
Verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables.
A parable is sort of a metaphor. It's an illustration. Sometimes we use, Jesus would often use agriculture, or we use a person or a toy or a simple story to get a deep point across.
And said unto them in his doctrine, 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow.
Hearken means listen up, everybody. Look here, I've got something to say. Here's what I'm saying to you. A sower went out to sow. Now let me tell all of you listening to me now, you are the sower. What do you sow? Now, God's whole kingdom on earth is really regulated by seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22, God says, while earth remains, seed time, harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. That takes care of global warming. So much for that. And over throughout the Bible, it's God's law of reciprocity. As Paul says in Galatians, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, whatever you sow, you're going to reap it more than you sowed and later than you sowed. And that's whether it's good or whether that's bad. Now, there's all kind of sowing in the Bible, so we're going to find out what Jesus is talking about. And he tells us later, if we don't understand about sowing and reaping, we'll never understand anything. Most of you are experiencing right now a harvest of something you sowed. And you sowed some seeds today, and they're going to bring a harvest to you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, we can sow the seeds of friendship, of love, of kindness, of caring, of thoughtfulness, and we're going to get that back somewhere, somehow. It's going to come back. Or we can sow the seeds of coldness, of disrespect, of not caring, of self-centeredness, and that's what we're going to get back. We can also sow the seed of money. We all know we're supposed to tithe, Malachi 3, and that's God says to do that, and he blesses you richly. But above the tithe, there's something called an offering. Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul says, make up your bounty beforehand. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And he goes on to say, now God gives seed to the sower. God watches those who sow. And Paul is talking about money for the work of the Lord now. And he says he gives bread for your food. He'll supply your needs and multiply your seed sown. Everything comes back multiplied. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives a parable about a wicked one sowing a bad child. He says, Jesus says there, Matthew 13, while the children of God slept, an enemy came in and sowed a wicked seed, a poison berry, Zawan. And he says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the children of the devil are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Satan came and beguiled even the garden and sowed the wicked seed. And of course, Cain was the product, and his descendants are the Kenites. And they are the ones who, for the last 8 or 9 years, have tried to tear up our country and have done a pretty good work of havoc. And also in the church, however, we are defeating them. So we have all of this seed that we sow. Now, every time that you speak to your child, you're sowing into their life. If you say you are lazy and you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything, that's what you're sowing into them. But if you say, you know, I believe that if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll read your Bible every day and live your Bible every day and be filled with the Spirit and live for God and love other people and let God lead your life, I believe you're going to have a great life, you're going to have a happy life, and God's going to take good care of you. So see, we sow those seeds into our people all the time. Now, we're going to find that this is a different kind of seed, and it's the seed of the Word of God. Yes, we plant seeds of our words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Every time I say to you, God bless you, I'm sowing a seed into your life. I'm sowing seed right now. You see what I'm doing? You can have words have power. But he's talking more tonight. This parable is going to be today. Is going to, whatever time you're listening, is going to be the sowing the word. It's not a quarterly. It's not something really inspirational that somebody said on Facebook. It's not that text you got, which is very inspirational. It's not a book about the book. It's not a man's sermon. It's the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. That's his going to be his theme. Now, we're going to have the illustration, so we got to get down to the natural. A sower in Bible times did not have all the heavy equipment, and he was the farmer. First thing he would do is cultivate the soil, break up the fallow ground, go there and plow it up and get the ground broken up. The next thing he would put on a seed bag on his shoulder and have the seed in the bag. Then he would start walking. And he would sow to the left and sow to the right, and sow to the left and sow to the right, and sow to the left and sow to the right. He'd walk 25 feet or 30 feet. It's called broadcasting. You cast broadly this way, you cast broadly that way. Right now I'm broadcasting the Word of God. Now, the sower never does know where it's going. He's broken up the fallow ground, but he's going so fast. He's giving the Word, and he's wondering, will any of this take root? Okay, so keep that in mind. Now we're going to have the illustration in the natural, so you can go to the supernatural.
And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up.
Now, right beside the hallowed ground, where he'd been hallowing it out, the fallow ground, I should say, it's not hallow ground, it's fallow ground, the people would make a little sidewalk. They didn't have concrete, but the people would make a little pathway beside that area, and they would walk on it so much that the ground had become as hard as clay. It was so hard, so hard. If the seed, when it fell on the hard clay, if it could have stayed there for a while and been watered by rain, it's possible for that seed to have slipped down into the soil and produced fruit. But what happened, it sat there on the hard. That seed never even went in, and the birds of the air came and took the seed. Bird seed. Nope, that's it. Okay, we'll come back to that.
And some fell on stony ground. It had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth.
Scorched.
Six, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away.
Okay. Now, there were some stones in there, and they had been turned over, but on some stones, there's a little bit of dirt and a little bit of moisture. So the seed can get in there, and actually, a little green blade starts to come up. I bet you've seen a rock somewhere, and there's this little green sprig of grass coming up, and you say, where in the world did that come from? But it's not deep. It's not shallow. And when the sun comes up, it can't take the heat. It can't take the heat. What president said, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen? It's certainly not President Trump. He takes the heat and stays in the kitchen. Thank you, God bless you, President Trump. Some president said, Roosevelt, I think, I'm not sure who it was. Okay, so this little blade can't take the heat. As soon as the heat goes, it hasn't got any root. It's shallow. It's not rooted and grounded.
Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Okay, now there was some other seed fell there. Actually, it could blossom. It was actually good soil. But right beside it was a thorn, and a thorn just does what a thorn does. It sticks, and it pricks, and it picks. And what happened to the little seed is, it's so busy fighting off the sticky, pricky, icky thorn that it never has any more energy or enthusiasm about producing fruit. It stops with each time one of those things pricks it. He stops, and that's all he thinks about, puts all of his energy into it. So now, because of the thorn, we'll come back to that, no fruit. Now, is it any point in sowing the seed? See, this is going to happen to you. We're going to talk about that. Let's see what else. Did any of this take?
And other fell on good ground. Did you fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100?
Oh, some of it did come up. There it was. I would say that a cucumber is probably a 30, a cantaloupe's a 60, and a watermelon's a 100. Each one did its maximum, but we got some fruit. Now, that's the metaphor. That's the illustration. Now, remember that picture. Now, Jesus is going to explain this, because you, Christian, are the sower. The sower sows the seed.
And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Often he would say, let this saying sink down deep in your ears.
And when he was alone, it were about him with the 12, give him the parable. 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery.
Now, why would these 12 disciples have the ability to know the mystery, the sacred secret, which I taught a few weeks ago in 2 Peter 3, the sacred secret, the three earth ages, the seduction in the garden, the order of the seventh trumps? Why did they know that? because of the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, because when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, Isaiah 14, there was a small group that got up and fought Satan. We were all in our spiritual bodies, no flesh then, Revelation 12. We fought the dragon and his angels, and God counted us worthy and found us not guilty, and has sent out the elect in every generation one time in the flesh to be the oracles of light, to bear that truth. So the disciples were chosen from before the foundation of the world, as many as of you are. We're not the majority in the body of Christ. We're the minority, but God in one's a majority.
Amen.
Kingdom of God. But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. 12. Seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, not understand.
In other words, I could have told all of the people on the seashore, says Jesus, of what I'm about to tell you about what this really means, but they still wouldn't get it because their hearts are not seeking God. They are seeking God's hand. Are you seeking God? Did you just accept him so you wouldn't have to go to hell? That's a good reason. Hellfire we don't want. But what is God to you? Are you seeking something from him? Do you know if he never does another thing for me? If nothing ever good comes to me again, I will still love him. You know why? Because he's lovable. Because he's good. And because he's the one I sought. I'm not seeking his healing. I'm not seeking his money. I'm not seeking his fun. I'm not seeking his stuff. I want God. Do you want God? So he says, no, they don't want that. They would hear this and they would do nothing with it.
At any time, they should be converted.
They would actually be converted. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us, especially here at the end time, that God has sent a spirit of stupor, slumber, over a large portion of the body of Christ because they don't have the character to follow through. In other words, the Antichrist is about to come, and if we know that he's the Antichrist and worship him, we would have worshiped the devil, and you know what that means. That means you've had it. Your soul is lost. And so some of them can't get it. They just aren't ready to receive the truth at this point because they don't have the character to sustain the truth.
Sin should be forgiven them. 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?
Jesus says you've got to understand this parable of the sower. In other words, God's whole kingdom is regulated by the seed sowing. I just gave you some examples. Do you know God sowed one son into planet Earth and reaps thousands of sons? Hallelujah. Well, that's a great sowing, isn't it? So God says, seed, time, harvest, seed, time, harvest, seed, time, harvest. It's a way of life. I live by this in everything, not just you know, in the daily nitty-gritty of survival. No, in everything. What you need, sow a seed and wait it out.
The sower soweth the word.
Now that's as clear as you can be. The word is Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. So everyone listening to me, if you're saved, you are the sower. You're supposed to sow the word. You say, well, I'm not called to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. No, some of us are. But you are called to reach one. Each one reach one. The next person you meet is your mission field. That person you work with, that person you go to dinner with, that person you talk with, text with. How about your Facebook? You reach all these people. And you say you have no congregation.
15. And these are they by the wayside. The word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Okay. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Satan's first job is to watch when you get the word, and he comes to take it away. It's just interesting to watch that. Let me give you an illustration about this. Now, the birds took it away. There was this lady. We were pretty good friends, and she loved the Lord. I'd been praying for her. She'd accepted Jesus, but she didn't know anything of the Bible, and she was having so much trouble. I thought if I could just get her to read the Bible, she didn't come to my assembly, that it would help her, because the Bible's got the answers. So one day we were going someplace, and she was driving, and I had prayed the Lord to give me a cute little way to tell a quick little story just to whet her appetite. So I opened my mouth, and I started to say, "Did you know that Satan used to be so beautiful and proud and good, and he got to sit on the mercy seat and guard it, and then he betrayed God?" And so she's not saying a word. Suddenly she stops on the brake, screech. I thought, hey, she's going to stop and say, "I didn't know that." I mean, I was just going to tell her that little bit, you know, and about that was in the first earth age. Okay, so she screeches, and I'm waiting for her to say, "Thank you for telling me that. I never knew that." She said, with a spirit of slumber, "Look at the little birds crossing the road." I pressed my brakes to keep from killing them. The birds stole the word. Literally, Jesus says, the fowls of the air. Now, what is that? This on the wayside is those, God uses this expression, with foreheads of brass, hard-headed, hard-hearted, refuse to open up yourself to hear God's word. Completely closed in, sealed in, like steel, like brass, hard-headed, hard-hearted. The word can't even go in. The woman was not disrespectful to me. She admires me, and she likes me. She didn't hear me because of the spirit of slumber. You understand? Do you keep sowing to someone like that? Not unless Holy Spirit tells you to. Paul says, dust off your feet and go on to the next house. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Some of the people you will sow to are so hard-headed and so hard-hearted. You will know immediately. They may throw the Bible back in your face, or they may hit you or something, or want to. Just you'll know. You can tell the response.
Six.
Or they might stop on brakes and say, "Look at the little birds walking by. The birds stole the word." Talk about literally, he said, the fowls of the air steal the word.
And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Oh, they're so happy. I could just count from here to Daytona Beach, the people have stood before my little pulpit here and said, "Sherry, this is the best thing I've ever heard. I didn't know the mystery of God. I always felt there was more. And to think that we're with God before we came here, and the seduction in the garden. Oh, thank God at last we got a place to go. And you don't even ask for money, Sherry." They're so happy, so happy. So I tell them, they said, "I'm going to be here every Sunday." So I say, "Next Sunday, the devil will try to keep you from coming." "Nope, nope, nope, I'm coming." Next, ring, ring, ring. "Sherry, my stomach hurts a little bit today. Sherry, I got to go into work early today. Sherry, my spouse wants me to go somewhere else with him today." See? There you have it. I told you.
17, and have no root in themselves.
They aren't rooted and grounded. They heard the word. They know it's beautiful. But see, it's not enough for you to hear me teach these books. That word's got to go inside of you, and you got to digest it and swallow it and live it and sing it and pray it and say it and sing it and pray it and say it and sing it and pray it and say it until that is your conversation, until it becomes you. Jesus is the living word. And there's not in them, so they have no lasting power.
So endureth but for a time.
In another gospel, Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Anybody can start, but not many finish the race.
When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Oh, some kind of sickness came to them or their family. Oh, shucks, my faith is gone. I'm not going to stay with them. Or their spouse says, "You don't need to hear the word. I'll read it to you." But he's not even saved. He's never been baptized. You see what I'm saying? There's going to be something, or you're persecuted, or someone says to you, "Are you going to church again? One time, one somebody said to me, "Are you going to pray some more?" I said, "Yes." So they can't take the heat because they're not rooted and grounded. You know why I take the heat? And believe you me, if you knew the heat that I've taken in my life and am taking right now, you would know that God's word is true. You know why I take it? I'm rooted and grounded in the word. I know the word is the only thing that lasts. The word endures forever. You can get people well and pray for them. That's good. Healing is good. Cast out demons, good. Give to the poor. Give to the homeless. Help the widows and orphans. I do all of that. But the greater thing is the word of God. The one thing Christians fight, and the one things you won't memorize, and the one thing you won't do when trouble hits, go to the word. The word will build up your faith so you won't be so shallow. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. I've seen times I've had to, for 24 hours, just stand my ground and say the word of God over myself to survive the attack I was under. Nobody said it's easy, but you got a weapon. It's the word of God. Amen. You don't have to be shallow. Swallow it. Dig deeply.
18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. 19, and the cares of this world.
Uh-oh, busy, busy, busy.
The deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in and choke the word.
Jesus was telling one parable, and the man was telling Jesus why he couldn't give his life to Jesus, and the man said, "Well, I just married a wife. I can't come to church. I just married a wife." Okay, the thorn, if you marry someone unequally yoked and you're called of God, you are in big trouble. You should have taken that up with God before you got married. Now you can't get a divorce, so you're going to have to work it out. Anytime there's the thorn, this is symbolic of the devil. I just recently taught the book of Judges. Judges chapter 9, the bramble tree is the thorn tree, is the devil. Remember, the devil had them put a crown of thorns in Jesus' brow. It pricks and sticks. Now, these are the kind of people that do come and they love the word, and they have such a potential to bring forth more fruit. They've got a personality, they love people, they're outgoing, and you know perfectly well that they're ready to plant seeds to anyone they can, drop a little seed here, drop a little seed there. But this thorn tree picks at them. And you know, Paul says, "I prayed for the thorn in my flesh to be removed." The thorn is the devil. And these people, to prevent you from reaching your destiny and planting the seeds that you're supposed to be and harvesting, he brings you one thing after another. Pick, pick, pick. So each one of them, you're fighting off the demon on that one. Then you got another. Woo! Next, next. No, 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 no. You have power over all the power of the enemy. You can stop that pricking right now. You can shamar yourself. A Hebrew word, God is your fence around you, your hedge of protection. He is your shield. And he will come between you and the prick, and the fiery darts go back on them. Amen. Yes, the devil comes at those who are fruit bearers and the elect. But you do not have to go in a pattern of one trauma after another that keeps you from serving God. I tell you what I do. He brings me the same thing. It's all the time. I'm in about 10 right now, and I'm just as happy as I can be. How do I do that? Because I don't talk about it. I don't stop there. I just keep on going, and I keep on sowing. See, you don't get distracted with a great big problem. It can't be bigger than your God or your life's destiny. But this thorn will keep sticking you with it and make you think that you've got to take care of that, and then you'll do what God wants you to do. No, do what God wants you to do, and God will take care of the thorn.
Amen.
Amen.
Now remember, these are the kind of people you're going to sow into. So help you understand, folks. Help you understand yourself.
And it becometh unfruitful. 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100.
God gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, he gives 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he gives more gifts to some because he figures you can handle it. Remember, he gave one man 10 talents, one 5, and one 1. The 10 multiplied his, the 5 multiplied his, the 1 hid his under a bushel. He didn't do anything with it. So whatever your giftings and callings are, you may pray for the more perfect gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Whatever it is, give your best. If you're a 30-fold person, then reach that 30. Don't go 29. If you're 60, reach the 60. Don't stop with 50. And if you're 100-fold, go for the goal. In other words, God is not going to measure which one did the most. It's what you did, if you did the most with what you have. Each one of you is supposed to sow the word of God into other people's lives. This modern technology is a blessing. Most of you have Facebook, and you're always putting stuff up there. Why don't you say, did you know about the fallen angels? Did you know that they went in into the beautiful daughters of Adam and produced the giants? I had an actor friend, he would say, have you ever heard of the Nephilim? In other words, you learn so much in here. It's so interesting. The Bible is fascinating. It's got everything you want in there. It's got science. It's got mystery. It's got sex. It's got love. It's got everything. It's got, of course, all with God related. So see, you have that. And you have tweeting and texting and you have cell phones. And yet, how much of that has nothing to do with sowing the seed? Check yourself.
21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick?
All right, he calls you the candle. Jesus says that you're the light of the world. What he's saying is the truth that you get, you hear me at the end of each program, I'll say, what you get is not yours to keep, it's to give away, and God will give you some more. So Jesus is saying, you're the light of the world. And I didn't call you to go hide under a bed and a bushel there. I want you to be like you're in a candlestick and give light to the world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Your good works is sowing the word of God. Of all the good works you do, sowing the word of God is best. We may give our body to be burned. We give food for the homeless and the poor. We give our money. We give our love. We cast out demons. We heal the sick. But the good work is the sowing of the word of God. And he says that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he says, don't hide that. All these truths that you get, you're accountable now for sharing them with somebody.
For there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither is anything kept secret that it should come abroad.
Now he's talking about the sacred secret, the mystery of God, which I have taught here in detail and explained. Of course, it goes back with the first and second and now coming up the third earth age, the three earth and heaven ages, the seduction in the garden, and the order of the trumps. Incidentally, when I get to Mark 13, I'm going to be able to do a cross-reference because it actually contains the seven seals, and I'll go to the seven trumps, so you have something to look forward to there. So he says, don't hide it. In other words, and if you don't understand something about the word, ask the Lord, and he will share with you. He tells his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He wants you to share the sacred secret with somebody who's looking for the sacred secret. See, there are many people, we see them on television, if only they know there's more. There's more than it started with, hey, hath God said. They know there's some reason for that. And because you know the sacred secret.
23. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear.
So Jesus says, if you comprehended that, also hear what Jesus said, go and sow. The sower went forth to sow, and the sower sows the word. Dedicate your life right now to be a sower of the word of God. Ask God to help you with that, to give you strategies, to bring the right people before you, to show you how to use what you have where you are to the best of your capacity to sow that word each day. You must go and you must sow. And now it's time for Mystery Moment. We'll pick it up right there next time. Don't miss next week's lesson. We'll finish this beautiful teaching on sowing. If you ever learn about sowing and reaping, it'll change your whole life forever. Everything that comes to you, then you can activate this by sowing. You sow into your problem. You sow the answer. In other words, you begin to learn to do this. Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce you to you, the man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. We are called to be doers of that word, aren't we?
Doers of the word. That's right. Doer and a sower.
Doer and a sower. Mm-hmm. Okay, our question tonight, is someone cutting themselves a sign of demonic manipulation, and is there a spirit of suicide?
Yes and yes. Many times the demons will have someone cut themselves, and certainly demons tell people to commit suicide. The devil's name is death. Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. Next week we're going to have an illustration of a man who was filled with demons, and he was so tormented by the demons that he would cut himself day and night and hurt himself. The devil wants you out of, you know, in other words, so that you're not in the world. He wants you dead before you can get a chance to get saved or get a chance to do any good for God. So it is the demonic forces that tell you to cut yourself and the demonic forces that tell you to commit suicide. You're listening to the wrong voices.
Yeah, I mean, even in the word, when the devil met Jesus in the desert, right?
Yes, the devil we studied that back in recently, didn't we? We were talking about John the Baptist. Jesus fasted there, and the devil said, Jesus, why don't you jump off of the temple there and commit suicide? Jesus said, uh-uh. The devil misquoted a scripture in Psalm 91, added three little words to deceive Jesus, but in the flesh, if you jumped off that, you'd kill yourself. Jesus said, no. The devil even tried to get Jesus to commit suicide. Jesus outsmarted him.
Yep.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
There are two prophetic streams flowing now, just as there were back in the beginning. One, a perverted river, tickling ears, flowing from the enemy, filling man-made cisterns, mammon-driven. And one, pure, from the throne of God, rendering judgment, producing atonement, offering salvation and purification. Choose for today who you will serve. Revelations 22.
That is so great. That's the end of the one you began last week. We'll put all that together. Thank you very much, Scott Merson. That's
Sherry.
Very, very great beautiful. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. So if you're sick, get ready. But first of all, I want to pray for those of you who are not saved. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To sow your Word.
To sow your Word.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if you meant that and prayed that, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call and leave a message on my voicemail and let me know, and I'll also pray for you. Now, for those of you who are sick, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. And I ask that the laser beams of Jesus' virtue, the absolutely laser beams, will go into the lungs and the chest and the throat, and all of germs be in there, any kind of disease be in there, any discomfort, any kind of flu or cold be in there, be gone in Jesus' name. Loose, loose, loose. Let there be ease. Hold Holy Ruach, breathe in the lungs, breathe in the throat. Let the coughing stop in Jesus' mighty name. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. In Jesus' name. Top of your head to the soles of your feet, relax. The healing virtue pouring into your veins, into your body cells, rejuvenating, repairing. Ha, ha, there it goes. He said his word and healed you. You got it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, I felt that release, so if you got that, please feel free to call and tell me that also. Remember Sundays, 5 p.m. here at my school. We record the radio program live, and then we have prayer. Wednesday, 6 p.m., I teach another book of the Bible, and then we have prayer. We especially pray for America on Wednesdays. And on Thursdays, you may get me your prayer request, because from 12 to 2, Scott and I are here, and we're praying for the world, and we're praying for you. You may call in. I will answer the phone live that day. You may walk in, or better yet, get your prayer request to us so we can just pray for it. And tell others, go and sow the truth, that the trumpet of truth is on the internet, WMIEFM.com, on demand. I just have many, many books of the Bible on there. You could study the Bible forever on your smartphone or on the internet there with me. And I'm sure that it will bless you, not because it's me, but because every word is from God. God bless you. I love you. Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now remember, everything that you get is not yours to keep, so you're supposed to go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God give you his peace, and God be gracious unto you. And until next time, remember, go and sow, and then blow the trumpet of truth. God bless you.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
The mighty one, the Lord, calls to all the earth, from the rising of the sun to the place it makes its bed. He calls his people, and we will listen. He will not keep silent till we feel the fire again. Till we feel the fire again. A thankful heart prepares the way for you, my God. A thankful heart prepares the way for you, my God. heart that would bow down, or a head that he could lift with eyes of mercy, a burning passion. He will not keep silent till we feel the fire again. No, till we feel the fire again.
gosh, I forgot the song. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. Okay, I'm going to have to do it again. I'm also going to do a shorter intro. Is it?
Can you hear you that at all, Barry? I was kind of thinking it might sound nice, my big fleshy foot tapping on the wood floor.
No, I was doing some art foot.
I can hear it.
Percussive foot.
Well, if you can't hear it, then I can get away with it, right?
That's true, Dad.
Do you think it needs to go faster at all, by the way?
Uh-oh.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Is the tape still rolling?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is? Okay. Oh. Is it rolling? Okay. Psalm 18, take one.
To the Lord who is worthy of praise, and all my enemies don't know where to face. The cords of death have entangled my feet. I cried to you, and from your temple you heard me and rescued me. The earth quaked and the mountains shook. Smoke rose, the clouds parted with just one look. He reached down from his heavenly home. He drew me up from the waters, deathly hold. So I'll sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dark and clouds were like a canopy around him. He shot his arrows and he shattered my foes. With bolts of lightning, they all became exposed. He brought me out to such a spacious place. He saved me because he loves me and he's full of grace. And I'll be trying till the day that I die to hold tightly to his ways and never live in lies. So I'll sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. God turns my darkness into light. With my God, I can scale the wall. With your help, I can win a war and not even fall. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Lets me stand on the heights high above my fears. He makes path broad beneath my feet so my ankles don't turn and ruin me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater. Great.